begin today on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, Lemeket Hanoi. We'll count up at about 8 lines up from the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. And we began this sugi yesterday. Belinetta will try to review it today and then move even further on. This sugya is called Lemeket Hanoi. We have a machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Avo. According to Chizkiah, when the Torah prohibits achila, it means just that, achila, not hano. According to Rabbi Avo, achila means achila plus hano. And the Gemara is now investigating the possibility that this machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Avo is an ancient one that predates them. It goes back to the time of the Tannaim. So what we're going to do now is we're going to analyze a machlokes Tannaim, and we're going to try to prove logically that this machlokes Tannaim, that what lies at the root of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva in this machlokes, is going to be the issue of Chizkiah and Rabbi Avo. So if you want to make a note of it, if this helps you, then we're going to assume that according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, we are going to assume like Rabbi Avo, meaning that until the Torah says otherwise, any Iser Achila includes Iser Hana as well. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to assume like Chizkiah, and when the Torah prohibits Achila, it means just Achila and only Achila, not Hana. Which means the following. If we have a parsha where the Torah tells you don't eat something, and then the Torah went out of its way to be Matir Hana, then if you hold like Chizkiah, and that's going to be Rabbi Akiva's Shita, then why did the Torah have to bother being Matir Hanos? Since according to Chizkiah, we never had an assumption of an Isur Hanos to begin with. And therefore we're going to have to use that extra pasuk in some other way. On the other hand, if you hold like Rabbi Avo, then we understand very well why the Torah had to go out of its way to be Matir something. Because in the absence of being Matir Hanos, it would be also Bachila. Just to review, let's take the case of Nevela. The Torah says that Nevela you're allowed to benefit from. Why did the Torah have to say that? Well, according to Rabbi Avo, the reason the Torah had to be Matir Hanonav in Nevela is because if the Torah had not done so, then since the Torah says thou shalt not eat Nevela, it includes an Isur Hanonav as well. According to Chizkiah, on the other hand, we have the question, why did the Torah have to bother being Matir Hana in Nevela? Why would I ever think it was Asur Hana? And then we're going to have to say, let's say for example, like Rabbi Yehuda, if you recall, that we had back on Daf Chof Aleph called Dvarim Kiksavam, that the Torah wanted to restrict that Hana and tell you're only allowed to give a gift to a ger, and if there's no ger available, you're allowed to sell it to a Nachri. Now what we're going to study now in the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva is a parsha in Vayikra Zayin, and this parsha is called Chelev Nevela. Now the animal died without Shechita, and it's Asur B'Toras Nevela. Included in this animal, in the body of the animal, is Chelev. Right? Chelev, we said, was certain parts that cover certain organs. We'll call it fats that cover the stomach or perhaps the liver, other parts of the animal. And that's called Chelev. Now, in the parsha of Chelev, with regard to Nevela, so the animal died without Shechita, what's the status of the Chelev of that Nevela? So the Torah went out of its way to tell you that you're allowed to do Malacha with it, where the classic Malacha of Chelev is what's called Meshichas Oros. Meshichas Oros, you remember this? Right, it used to smooth out the hides. Right. So it's a fatty substance, and it can be used to tan, to soften the hides in the process of preparing the hides for making shoes or whatever you need the leather for, and so forth and so on. Now, let's just analyze. If the Torah went out of its way to allow you to use the chelev of nevela for any malacha that you want. Apparently, if the Torah hadn't done so, I would have assumed that there's a problem here. Now, if you hold like Rabbi Avo, it works very well. Why? Because Rabbi Avo holds that whenever the Torah prohibits achila, it means hana as well. Therefore, the Torah had to go out of its way in the case of chelev of nevela to be matir hana, to allow you to benefit from, to use it as a meshicha for oros. On the other hand, I have another question. Well, the Torah was already matir nevela, and that it says legerasher b'sharecha titnen olam o machal nachri. So why shouldn't I assume that that heter, which the Torah applied to nevela, ipso facto applies to anything in the corp, in the body of the animal, including the chalef? So why did the Torah feel compelled to be matar anos specifically in the case of chalef nevela? So first, to begin this whole sugya, let's start with the psukim. So there are two psukim, one after the other. We're interested in the second pasuk. The first pasuk is relevant to the sugya later, so we'll mention the first pasuk as well. It says, "Kol chelev shar v'chesev v'eiz lo tochelu." So first of all, we're talking about chelev of a kosher animal. Now, when I say the word animal, what I mean is a behema, as opposed to what's called a chaya. Right, so we divide up the animal kingdom for kashrus purposes into two basic categories. There's behema and there's a chaya. So let's say, for example, a deer. Right, if you slaughter a deer, that they call it in the fancy restaurants venison. Have you ever heard of it? Okay. And there in the deer you'll find chelev, just like in any animal. But a deer, a tzvi, is called a chaya. The Torah does not prohibit the chelev of a chayel, because what's common to all these three animals that the Torah mentions, called chelev, shar, v'kesev, v'eiz, is that these are three types of tzon, and they belong to the behema family. And the Torah says, lo so chelu, you're not allowed to eat the chelev of a behema. Does anybody know what punishment the Torah specifies for someone who eats the chelev of a behema? Karetz. Yeah, that puts chelev in a very unique category. Chelev is much more chomer than any other macholos asuris, with the exception perhaps of chametz, which is also an isur karetz, but it's rare and far between that you'll find an isur achila that incurs a chiv karetz. Karetz is a very severe punishment. But again, we're only talking about chelev of what? Of a behema, not chelev of a chaya. The Torah never prohibited chelev of a chaya. Okay. Now the next pasuk speaks about the chelev of a nevela, because the first pasuk that we mentioned is speaking about the chelev of an animal that was shechted, and it's not nevela, but the Torah says you're allowed to eat the animal, the shah, the kesef, or the eiz, but you're not allowed to eat the chelev. So you got to get rid of the chelev. The chelev itself is asur be'isur kares. Now, what happens in the case of a nevela? So you have the chelev of a nevela. And the Torah says, v'chelev ha-nevela, v'chelev ha-trefa, ye'asa l'chol melacha, v'achol lo sochluhu. So the chelev of nevela is permitted for l'chol melacha. Now, we have two questions to ask you. First of all, leave out the word kol.
Why the order? Usually we think the paskin indicate the achila issue, and then the issue of hana.
You mean you're worried about the sequence, because the end of the pasuk says lo soch luhu?
Right.
Is that, okay, that's a good point. I don't know, I didn't think about that. But let's focus for a moment just on these three words of the pasuk. Let's just focus on that. So we have two questions to ask. Question number one, leave out the word lechol, just ye'asa limalacha, which means that you're allowed to use it for meshichas oros. Why did the Torah feel compelled to explicitly permit Meshichas Oros in the case of Chelev Nevela. After all, the Nevela itself is Mutar Ba'anah, and that we know because the Torah says explicitly, Lagerashem B'sharecha Titaneno. Then anything inside the Nevela, including the Chelev, should be Mutar Ba'anah. Why did the Torah have to tell me, Ye Asel Chol Malacha? Unless we're going with Chizkiah. No, I'm sorry. Unless we're going with Rabbi Avo. Here Rabbi Avo would plug in well. Because Rabbi Avo says that when it says Lo Sochluhu, it includes even in Isra Hanah. So the Torah would be compelled to go out of its way to be Matar Hanah. But the only thing is, the Torah already did that in the case of the Nevela. Why doesn't the Heter Hanah encompass the Chelev as well? Why did the Torah have to specify that you could take this Chelev and use it for Meshichas Oros if the Torah already was matir nevela behanah? So that's question number one. And question number two, why did the Torah have to add the word kol malacha?
Question one, isn't there a pasuk already for chelev? So if there's a question for chelev, so they should specify now that that's included for the hanah.
Well, my first question is that, again, are you answering my first question? I don't mind an answer. If you have an answer, I'm happy. So let me ask the question, you'll give me the answer. Why does the Torah have to be Matir Hanah and allow me, explicitly tell me that you're allowed to use the Chelev of the Nevela for Meshichas Oros? Of course you're allowed to use the Chelev of the Nevela for Meshichas Oros. I'm allowed to use the Nevela for Meshichas Oros. Why? This, the Torah was explicit about being Matir Hanah in the Nevela. Why wouldn't Chelev be included in the Nevela? So what are you answering?
Go ahead. It's fine. I'll listen.
Okay. So that's question number one. And question number two, even if for some reason the Torah felt compelled to explicitly be Matir Hanah in the case of Chelev Nevela, and therefore the Torah says L'chol Malacha, why did the Torah have to say L'chol Malacha? The word kol is extra. It could have said L'malacha. Ye'asa L'malacha. So now the Gemara is going to quote Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the following. Ma Talmud Lomar L'chol Malacha. He's addressing now the second question. He sort of skips over the first question. There's going to be sort of an implicit answer to the first question. But head on, explicitly, he only addresses the second question. Why the extra word kol in kol malacha? And he says the following. Does everybody have the place? We're up to the word sheyachol, which is six lines up from the bottom, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sheyachal means I might think, if I didn't have the word kol, that when the Torah allows Hana, in this case we spoke about Meshichas Oros, in the case of Chelev Nevela, that's only Lemeleches Gavoa, for the sake of Hegdesh. So in Hegdesh we have something called Bedek HaBayis, which means Kedushas Domin. We're not talking about Mizbeach now, but we're talking about for Kedushas Domin. So let's say, for example, they needed the Oros for the purpose of creating baskets or receptacles, or maybe they needed it for curtains or whatever they needed it for. And that's called Bedek HaBayis. Now the Torah was very lenient with regard to Chelev on the Mizbeach. Because as you know, Chelev is actually burnt on the Mizbeach. That's called Haktaras HaChalavim. That itself is a great chiddush, because normally we're not allowed to put onto the Mizbeach for Achilas HaMizbeach anything that we're not allowed to eat. That's called Mimashka Yisrael. But in the case of Chelev, the Torah permitted it and obligated it. So you see, for the sake of Hegdesh, the Torah was very lenient and allowed Chelev to be burnt on the Mizbeach for the sake of Hegdesh. Let's take that one step further and apply that to Kiddushas Perek Habayis in the case of Meshichas Oros, and let's postulate that the Torah, by saying Melacha, Ye'osel Melacha, is telling you that you take the Chelev of an Avela and you can use it for Meshichas Oros for the sake of Hegdish. That's called a Meleches Gavah. However, Lemeleches Hejot Ye'osel. In other words, when the Torah was Matir Hana, in the case of Chelev, we're going to take it at the least Chiddush. Notice the Torah is telling us something which is absolutely amazing, that you're allowed to have Hana from Chelev, but we're going to take the lesser Chiddush. We're going to restrict this Chiddush. And we're going to allow for Fahanas Chelev, but only for the sake of Gavah, only for the sake of Hegdish. But we're not going to go a step further and give an all-inclusive permission to use the Chelev, even for Meleches Hejot, for my own personal use, right? I want to prepare a pair of shoes, so I want to, you know, use this Chelev to, in the process of preparing the leather. And maybe the Torah would not allow that Hanah. The Torah is only allowing Hanah for the sake of Gavah, where the Torah already allowed something with regard to Chelev in Gavah. And that was the case of Chelev al Gabi Mizbeach. We already have a precedent that the Torah bent the rules with regard to Gavah in the case of Chelev, allowing a Heter Achilas Mizbeach in burning the Chelev on the Eish of the Mizbeach, even though it's Chelev, it's prohibited, but for the sake of the Mizbeach we're allowing it. Let's take a step further and say that when the Torah allows you to use Chelev l'melacha, it means for Meleches Gavah. But I don't have a source for going a step further and assuming the Torah would give an all-inclusive Heter Hanah, and therefore Melacha would include Meleches Hejot as well. That I don't know. Talmud Lomer Lechol Melacha. Therefore, the Torah had to add the word Lechol, which was a superfluous word, to expand the heter of Chelev Nevela and allow you to do Meshicha of Oros, even Litzarch Meleches Hejot, for my own personal use. Dimrei Rabbi Yossi Aglil. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is analyzing this pasuk from the perspective of Iser Veheter, and specifically Hanah. The Torah prohibited Achila. Now we want to know if the Torah would, even though it prohibited Achila, would permit Hanah. And we have a Chiddush. But for this we need two psukim, so to speak. It's really one pasuk, but only two parts of the pasuk. We need one Yalfusa to teach me that you're allowed to use the Chelev for Gavah. We need another pasuk to allow me to use the Chelev for Hejot. And we have two psukim. We have Lechol Yeosel Lemelacha, we have Yeosel Lechol Melacha. And the extra word Kol is coming to expand the Heter Hanah to include even Meleches Hejot. Okay. Now again, what is the underlying premise here of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Does anybody see the subtle? Here you have to use your Gemara cup, as we call it. Do you see the subtle premise here, that the proposition that underlies this whole discussion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Don't all answer at once. I can't hear so many voices, you know. Especially I have a little bit of a cold today. Did the Torah, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in the case of Chelev Nevela, have to be Matir Hanah? Reuven, what do you say? Yes or no? You have a 50% chance of getting it right. So, did the Torah need to be Matir Hanah? What's the answer? Yes. Not only did the Torah need to be Matir Hanah, the Torah needed to be Matir Hanah times two. We need two heter. We need one heter from Meleches Gavah and another heter from Meleches Hejot. apparently, in the absence of this heter, what would have been the status of chaylev nevela? It would be aser badna. Which of the two shitas, again a 50-50 chance to get this right, does Rabbi Yossi seem to be standing on the shoulders of Chizkiyah or Rabbi Avo? Excellent, Rabbi Avo. Do you see why the Gemara is going to make a marriage here between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Avo? That just like Rabbi Avo assumes that every Isra Achila includes an Isra Anah, if we apply it to Chelev Nevela, the Torah says don't eat Chelev Nevela, and that Isra includes even Anah. Now the Torah is compelled to write a special pasuk to be Matar Anah, and Rabbi Yosef says I need two psukim to be Matar Anah. Because this is such a great chiddush that the Torah allows you to use and benefit from the Chelev of Nevela, the Torah had to tell me that twice. Once for Meleches Kavoa, and a second time for Meleches Hedjot. But if on the other hand I would apply the principle of Chizkiyah, then when the Torah prohibited Achilas Chelev Nevela, that's only Achila, that doesn't include Adnah. So then why did the Torah have to go ahead and say Ye'asa L'chol Malacha? Forget out L'chol Malacha, even Ye'asa Malacha I don't need that at all. Hence we introduce Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva now, who came way before Chizkiyah, is going to argue that this pasuk Ye'asa L'chol Malacha in Chelev Nevela is coming for a whole different purpose. Not to be Matar Adnah, because there's no reason to assume that it's also Adnah, because you're going with Chizkiyah's principle, but rather to be Matar Midei Nevela. What does that mean? That the Nevela itself, leaving out the Chelev for one split second, is Matami. That's called Tumas Nevela. Like Nevela is an Avat Tumah, it's a source of Tumah. Anyone who comes in contact with the nevela, that's called maga. Then we have something called masa if you carry a nevela, and then we have achila. There's beis ablia if you swallow a nevela, even if you didn't carry it, somebody put it down your throat. That's also metamin. So that's called tumas nevela. Now, when I look at this nevela, this animal that died without shechita, I assume everything inside the nevela is going to be tamin, including the chela. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say that the Torah is now taking the chelev out of the animal, so to speak, as far as tumah is concerned. That there's something inside the animal that's not tumah. The whole animal is carcass, the meat of the animal, the basar, is metameh. That's called tumas nevela. But the chelev is not metameh. And here Rabbi Akiva needs two psukim. Because if you tell me that chelev is not metame, well, maybe it's not metame chulin, but it is metame hegdish. And now I need a special pasuk l'chol, the extra word call, to tell me that there's no tumah in the chelev, even vis-a-vis hegdish. In other words, we're mistaken if we think that tumah is absolute. It's not absolute. If Albert Einstein was here, he would say that tumah is relative. I'll give you an example. There's something called a tful yom. A tful yom is considered a shlishi l'tumah. And if he comes in contact with chulin, he's not metame chulin, because chulin does not contract tumah in a shlishi situation. But if he comes in contact with hegdesh or with truma, then he's metame the hegdesh and truma. It means it has to be burnt. And why is that? Because the law of the Torah upgrades Hegdesh to a level of a greater sensitivity. And it's sensitive to a tumah, even in a shlishi tumah. But you see that the Torah has defined and classified tumah in what we call a relativity theory. You ask me, is this Tful Yom Tomei or is he not Tomei? He already went to mikvah. Well, the answer is it's relative. It depends. If he comes in contact with chulin, then as far as chulin is concerned, he's like a tar. But if he comes in contact with truma or hegdesh, then he's metame. Because the power of tuma in the case of a shlishi is somewhat reserved, you know, it's somewhat limited. And you have something that's very susceptible or very sensitive to tuma, that's called hegdesh, and therefore even a shlishi is a problem for Hegdish. But that same shlishi l'tumah would not be a problem for chulin for non-Hegdish. Hegdish has a certain sensitivity. I'll give you an example. Again, I don't mean to equate it, but in the laws of Tumah, only a Yisrael becomes Tumah. A guy doesn't become Tumah. You know, our spiritual level is very sensitive to Tumah. We have a certain sensitivity. That's why they have seven mitzvahs and we have 613 mitzvahs. And many of those mitzvahs are reflective of the spiritual sensitivity, if you call it, of a Jew. So a Jew has to be very sensitive in ways that a non-Jew doesn't have to be sensitive. A non-Jew has to be sensitive for Avram and Achai, for example. But our spiritual makeup, we have to be sensitive to many, many different kinds of foodstuffs. A whole long list. I was told that there's some goyim who like to eat in the kosher restaurant. Maybe they think it's healthier, I don't know why. But there's no reason why a guy, actually if I have nevela, I'm going to sell to a guy. You know, that's what I'm going to do. But the guy has no... If a guy becomes very sensitive towards Macholas Asuras, he's on his way to becoming Jewish. And maybe at some point he'll be Mizgayan, I don't know. But again, I don't believe for 1 minute that that's why a guy will come into a kosher restaurant, you know. So the same way, when we talk about sensitivity to Tumah, Hegdesh, Kodshim, are a kind of substance in the world, in the universe, that's much more sensitive to Tumah. That there's certain low-ebb Tumahs that wouldn't bother Chulin, and if Chulin came in contact with a Tful Yom, or Tful Yom came in contact with Chulin, it would not impart Tumah. So the fruits or the vegetables, the grains would not contract Tumah, but yet if they were Kachim, they would contract Tumah. Let's say it was Truma, it would contract Tumah. So that's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, I don't need a pasuk to be Matir Hana in the case of Chelev, because Chelev itself is only Osav Achila, maintaining the Shita of Chizkia. But I need a pasuk to be mitayer the chelev miday tumas nevela. In other words, I look at the carcass and I say that 99% of the carcass is metame, that's tumas nevela, but there's 1%, one part of the carcass that's not metame. And what is that? Chelev. But you'll ask me, okay, chelev is not metame, but maybe that's only as far as chulin is concerned, but maybe as far as kodshim is concerned, you have to admit that the chelev is somehow connected to the nevela, and therefore it should be metame kodshim. So for that, I need an extra pasuk, says Rabbi Akiva. Sheyachal, I might think lemaleches hedjot, that if you want to use the chelev of nevela in the context of maleches hedjot, which is called chulin, it's tar, aber. If you want to use it for kodshim, then the contact between the chelev and the nevela and kodshim is yetame. It has the same status as tumas nevela, and therefore would pass the kodshim. So if there was a contact, a point of contact between the chelev, nevela, and kodshim, the kodshim would become pasul. Here, by the way, yetame lom l'chol malacha. So that's why we need a special pasuk called Malacha to teach you that there's no tumah whatsoever in chelev nevela, even as far as kodshim are concerned. Here you have a Maram Chalava quoted here in the footnote. He says, "Eich itachein shemutul ishtamish bechelev nevela letaros." Hello, afim ena chelev avatuma kibasa nevela, mikolokom u nitma mishumaga nevela. He wants to know, well, the chelev, even if it's a separate entity, but nevertheless it's in contact with the nevela itself, so the chelev itself should contract tuma from the nevela. Velogara mi odom anogebech bin nevela, shenitma mimago. If I, as a human being, touch a nevela, I contract tuma. So the chelev itself should contract tumah by virtue of the fact that it's in contact with the nevela itself. That's the kashya of Ram Chalava. I'm not going to go into the answer because I just wanted to give you just a little taste. So the Gemara now concludes that what is the summary, the overview of the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Yossi Aglili l'tumah l'tara lo yitzrich kra. Rabbi Yossi Aglili did not need a pasuk to tell you that chelus nevel is not metame, but ki yitzrich kra. So why did the Torah have to say l'chol? To tell me whether you're not allowed to have hana from chelev nevel of Rabbi Akiva, the iser veheta lo tzarka. He doesn't need a pasuk of iser veheta to be matir hana meshichas oros of chelev nevel. But ki yitzir kro, what the pasuk come is l'tuma v'tara. So the Gemara now says, my love, this is on the top of Chav Gimel on the base. My love, b'hakam b'fri. Shouldn't we assume now that the root of the machlokas here is Chizki on Rabbi Avo? The Rabbi Yossi Aglili Sova. Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Avo that whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, then it means even in Isra Hanah lo sochlu mashma bein Isra Achilu bein Isra Hanah. So now the Torah has to tell me that you're allowed to have hana from chelev nevela because the Torah says you're not allowed to eat chelev nevela, and the prohibition against eating includes hana. V'chi asakor, why did the pasuk come to tell me asakom alacha lemishrei to be matir hana, meaning le nevela b'hana hu diyasa? When it says nevela means chelev nevela is mutar b'hana. And now I need two psukim. I need one pasuk to be matir hana for the sake of hegdesh of gavoa. That's called Meleches Gavoa. And I need another pasuk call to be Matar Anah for Meleches Hejot. For Rabbi Akiva Savar. But Rabbi Akiva holds like Chizkia. And therefore Isra Achila Mashma, Isra no lo Mashma, that when the Torah prohibits something in Achila, that's it. There's no need, therefore, for the Torah to go out of its way to explicitly be Matar Anah. And therefore I have this extra pasuk, Hu Yeyasa L'chol Melacha, which means I have a superfluous pasuk. What is it coming? It can't be coming to me matar hanah, because it was never, the thought never crossed my mind that it would be asur hanah. If I hold like Chizkia, when the Torah says achil, it does not include hanah. So what am I going to do with this pasuk? V'chi asakra l'tuma mitara. The pasuk is coming to be mitayer chelev of nevela. Don't think that chelev and nevela has the same status as the nevela itself. And just like a nevela is metame, so too the chelev and the nevela is metame. But rather, the Torah took it out of the klal of tuma, and we need two psukim for that. One pasuk to tell you it's not the chelev and nevela is not metame chulin, and now I need another pasuk to tell you it's not metame kodshin. Because as we said before, we gave an example of a shlishi l'tuma. A shlishi l'tuma is not metame chulin, but it is metame Kodshim, and I might think therefore the chelev is reduced down to a level similar to a shlishi l'tuma, in which case the chelev and nevela, although it's not metame chulin, but it would be metame kodshim, and for that I need l'chol malacha. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Akiva, we need this pasuk not to be matar hanah, but rather to be matar miday tumas nevela. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I need the pasuk to be matir hanah, and I need a double pasuk to be matir hanah. Not only hanahs meleches hejo, meleches gavah, but even hanahs meleches hejo is also included. That's the extra word call. So the Gemara assumes, why is it that Rabbi Yossi Aglili needs this pasuk to be matir hanah? Rabbi Akiva needs this pasuk to be matir miday tumas nevela. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds like Rabbi Avo. And since Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds like Rabbi Avo, when the Torah prohibits achila in the case of chelev nevela, the achila includes hana as well. Now I need the Torah to go out of its way to be matir hana in the case of chelev nevela. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because he stands on the shoulders of Rabbi Avo. Again, Rabbi Avo was much later than Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but when I say he stands on his shoulders, I mean to say he stands on the preposition, or shall we say the underlying principle of Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds that the Torah did not have to bother being matar hanah, because I never would have assumed otherwise, because Rabbi Akiva stands on the shoulders of Chizkiah, and the Torah never prohibited hanah. So what is the pasuk coming to tell me? It's coming to teach me that it's tar, that the chelev is tar as far as the veil is concerned. That I need a double pasuk to be mafkia tuma, even on the lowest level, which would be enough in kodshim, to pasul kodshim. No, it's not even metame, it's not even metame kodshim. Now at this point, I also have to ask you a question that really perplexes my mind. I understand very well why Rabbi Yossi Aglili needs this pasuk Yosuch HaMalacha to be Mater Hanah. I even understand why he needs two psukim. I understand very well why Rabbi Akiva did not need this pasuk to be Mater Hanah, because he holds like Chizkiyah. But what I don't understand is that according to Rabbi Akiva, since I don't need this pasuk to be Mater Hanah, I use this pasuk to be Matayer, what is Rabbi Yossi Aglili going to say about this? Where is the source, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, to the Metayer Chelev Nevela, the day Tumas Nevela? After all, he uses this pasuk, Ye Asal Chol Molochav to be Mater Hanah. So he doesn't have the freedom, the luxury of using this pasuk for Tara, for Tumas Vitara. So there's a footnote here in the Masifta, footnote number Dalet here, in which he quotes a machlokas between the Marshal and the Marsha. These were two contemporaries about 5 centuries ago. The Marshal says that Rabbi Yossi Aglili admits, he agrees that Chelev Nevela is not Metame. It doesn't have the status of the Nevela, and it's not Metame. How does he know this? So here the Marshal pulls a rabbit out of his hat. I don't understand this, but I'll just read it to you. He says, "Mimashe hiter akosiv lasos melacha bechelev." Once the Torah allowed you to do melacha with chelev, it sounds like it's an all-inclusive heter, even if you're doing a melacha for the sake of kodshim. So it must be that it's tar midei nevela, because if it was tameh, how can you understand what I'm saying? In other words, the Torah was Mater Hanah by saying you're allowed to do Malacha. Now, once you do this Malacha, then by definition, you're coming in contact with this Chelev. And this Chelev is a Chelev Nevela. So, in the case of Chulin, that's okay. But in the case of Hegdesh, how are you going to allow doing this Malacha with Chelev? Chelev has the Din of Tumah. You're not allowed to be Metamei Kodshim. So, therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds, Ein Tzrichim Ribui Miyuchad. We don't need a special Pasuk of Lachol Malacha Yaseh. In other words, if the Torah is telling you can use it and you can do with it whatever you want for malacha, then it means it's not metame. And once you know it's not metame kodshim as well. There's no justification to differentiate or distinguish between kodshim and chul. Lachain. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Doresh es aposu, es akosu, lahatir chelev pahanah. So again, the bottom line is that according to the Marshal, Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees that chelev and avail is not metame, neither chulin nor kodshi. Just that he doesn't feel we need a posuk for that. It's sort of inherent or understood from the simple pshat in the posuk. So why did we need the pasuk? The pasuk is coming to teach us the heter hanah. Now I need a double heter hanah in order to be matir even for the sake of meleches hejet. The Marsha disagrees, and the Marsha thinks that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, chelev of nevela is metame. Why? Because he uses the pasuk l'chol melacha for Heter Hanah. So he doesn't have the freedom, the luxury of using this pasuk for Tumah Vitara. Hence, Rabbi Yossi Aglili would maintain that Chelev Nevela is Metame, just like a Nevela is Metame. So the Chelev has the same identical status as the Nevela itself. That's the Shita of the Marsha in Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So again, just to summarize, we're not sure in the context of this sugya what does Rabbi Yosef actually say to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva needs this pasuk l'chol malachi yosef to be matar b'day devela. Rabbi Yosef actually needed the pasuk to be matar anah. So where does Rabbi Yosef actually know? How would he derive the conclusion that chelim devela is not matamin? So the Marsha therefore concludes. The Marsha therefore concludes that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Ochinami, Chelev Nevela is Metami. It has the same status as Nevela. He has no pasuk to be Metami de Nevela. And the Marshal, on the other hand, assumes that it was understood, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, it was understood without a pasuk that the Chelev and Nevela is not Metami. So I would like to use the Marshal. In this case, I'm a Marshal fan. Why? Because I think this Marshal would help me understand something in this sugya that's very, very difficult, very perplexing. Rabbi Yossi Aglili needs a pasuk to be Mater Hana in the case of Chelev Nevela, what we call Mashichas Oros. I don't get it. Why does he need such a pasuk? The Torah says, with regard to Nevela, Lager Asher B'Sharecha Titneno, O Machar Tim Kol Nachri. So the Torah went out of its way to be back to the Nevela. Bahana. So Nevela itself is Mutar Bahana. I grant you that you hold like Rabbi Avo. That when the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, it includes even Hana. But in the case of Nevela, the Torah explicitly went out of its way to tell us that Nevela is Mutar Bahana. No, if the veil is mutabano, the chelim should be mutabano. So I think the answer to this question is indirectly supplied by this marshal that we mentioned. That the marshal says that chelim and the veil is, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, is not mitame. And yet he doesn't have a pasuk for that, because he needs a pasuk to tell you that it's mutabano. I think the answer is the following. It's Homo Italian. For the same reason that the Torah needs to be Mater Hanah Nevela in Chelev Nevela, for that very reason, Chelev Nevela is not Metame. Let me explain. Yesh Lachkar, we have to raise the following question. What is the status of Chelev? Is Chelev Basar? It's part of the animal? Or is Chelev a separate entity? Do you remember we had such a question with regard to Gid Anosha? What is Gid Anosha? Right, we had a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, I think it was, that Gid Anosha of a Behemoth Tmeah is not a violation of Behemoth Tmeah. It's not Basar. It's like Etzem, Rashi says. It's like a bone. It's not part of the flesh of the animal. So I think that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this is the key to unlock the mystery of Yossi Aglili, he's of the opinion that Chelev is a separate entity. Jerry, right? Are you with me on that? A separate entity. It's not part of the Nevela. It's not Basar. And therefore, whatever you're going to tell me about Nevela has no implication whatsoever as far as the Chelev of the Nevela, because Chelev of the Nevela happens to be physically located and biologically as part of the animal, but halachically it's a separate category, it's a separate entity. It's almost as if the Chelev was outside of the animal. And therefore I can answer two questions. Question number one, when the Torah was marked in Nevela, Bahana, does that Heter Hana apply to Chelev? And what's the answer? No, it doesn't. Why? Because Chelev is not part of the Nevela. Don't be tricked by the eye. You know, don't be fooled by the naked eye. The naked eye thinks that the Chelev is part of the Nevela. And if the Torah says, I can take this Nevela and I can ship it off to a ger or sell it to a guy, therefore, if so fact, I can do the same with the Chelev name. Take the Chelev out. The Chelev is a separate entity. And it's also manah. Therefore, I go back to Rabbi Avoh. That since the Torah prohibited achilas chelev as a separate entity, independent of the animal and its basar, then that isra achil includes what? An isra. No, now the Torah says Rabbi Yosef Aglili had to go out of its way to be matir Chelev Nevela, L'chol Asher Yosa, L'chol Malach Asher Yosa. The heter of L'ger Asher B'sherecha Tipnena that applies to the Nevela does not include the Chelev. So I need a special heter that the Torah has to spell out in the case of Chelev. Oh, if that be the case, then when the Torah said that Nevela is Metame, that doesn't include the Chelev. The Chelev is not included in the Tumas Nevela, because it doesn't have the status of Nevela. When the Torah says that Nevela is Metame, it refers to Basar Nevela. And Chelev is not Basar Nevela. So we'll do a biological study of the chemical structure of Chelev, and we'll find that the chemical structure of Chelev is fundamentally different, you know, the bonds and all that, than that of the Nevela and the Basar itself. So it's not Basar. And we had such a svara with regard to Gidanosha, that Gidanosha is not Basar. And that was, I think, the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Let me just remind myself. Was it Rabbi Yehuda? I think it was on Daf Chaf Aleph. Let me just see. Let me just see if I can... You know. Trouble is with this Masifta, you know, every Daf has five pages. So, see, after a while you get a little bit submished here. But I think we said, who was it that said if you eat chalev of behemoth tmeah, you're not chayev malchus? Wasn't that Rabbi Yehuda? All right, I don't want to waste too much time, and we'll find it here. I think it was Rabbi Yehuda who said that gidah noshe. You remember the principle called ein beginim but no same tam, right? Where is that? Ein beginim but no same tam. Where is that? Yeah, should be on maybe on chav beis and beis. Just one second. If that was Shara Niskal, that was Dam. And where is Gid Anoshe? Just one second on Dam. Chavez Amid Aleph. Yeah. Okay, good. Chavez Amid Aleph. Excellent. So let's see. Oh, Ha'ochel mi Gid Anoshe shall behemet meir. Oh, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Poter. Okay, I mistakenly identified it as Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon says you're Poter. Why? Because Reb Shimon holds that Gid Anosh is Ein Begidim B'no Seng Tam, which means that Gid is like Etzem, it's not like Basar, and therefore you're not eating a Behemoth Tmeya. So you have a non-kosher animal, you eat the Gid of a non-kosher animal. Reb Shimon says you're not Chayev for eating a non-kosher animal because Gid is not Basar. So that's on Daf Chav Beis Omer Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down on the daf. So what I'm suggesting now, based on this marshal, is that we can apply the same logic of Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And if we apply that logic to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then A, Rabbi Yossi Aglili would hold that the heter hanov nevel does not apply to the Chelev, because Chelev is not Nevela. Nevela means Basar, and Chelev is not Basar. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef Glee justifies the Poska Sheyosel Chol Malacha to be Mater Hanah in the case of Chelev. Chelev Nevela, I mean. And number two, we have the Marshal, who says as far as Tuma, we don't have Tumas Nevela in the case of Chelev. And you don't need two psukim, right? Where Rabbi Kiva argues that you need a special pasuk that it's not metame even kachin. Well, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, there's no tumah at all with regard to chelev. The whole entity of tumah doesn't exist. You know, when you have something that's tameh, you want to know how far and how bad is bad. You know, how tameh is tameh. So then you make distinctions between chulin and kachin. But here, in the context of Chelev Nevela, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if Chelev Nevela is outside of the animal's body, so to speak, I don't mean that literally, but figuratively, and it's an independent Cheftza, it's an independent Shem Isur, and it's not Basar, then there's no reason why it should be Metame at all. And if it's not Metame at all, I don't even have to ask the question about Kodshim.
I don't understand that. I mean, you can say that theoretically you're taking it out of the body, but it's in the body. and in the body it's touching.
Right, that was the Merab Chalavas question. You want to go over that? I mean, I raised this question without answering it because I'll try to see if I can get the answer to the Merab Chalava here. This is here in the Masiftis, footnote number Mem Zayin. He asks the following question: Eich Yitochen? How can you say that the Chalev is not Metame? Right? That was the, you didn't hear that. Maybe you came later. But that was the Maram Chalava. But I didn't read the answer to the Maram Chalava because I got so scared by the size of this footnote. You know, it says the following. Let's see if I can get his answer. I don't know. You know what? I'll owe you that. If the Maram Chalav is bothered by your question, Mitch, then we're in good company. So somehow magically, we can't understand the magic of it, but the Chalev of the Nevela, despite its contact with the Nevela itself, is not Metame. In fact, according to Rabbi Akiva, we need a special pasuk to tell me that it's not Metame at all, even vis-a-vis Kodshim. But what I'm suggesting is that conclusion of Rabbi Akiva was understood by Rabbi Yossi Aglili even before he had the pasuk of L'chol Malachi Yoseh. And the reason for it is because the status of Chalev is an entity unto itself, and it doesn't have the category of Nevela. And I bring two proofs for this. Proof number one is that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I need a heter hanor, which means that the heter hanor of the veil does not apply to the chelev. And proof number two is that at least according to the Marshal, Rabbi Yossi Aglili maintains that I don't even need a pasuk to tell you that chelev of the veil is not metame. Why not? And the answer might be because it's not called the veil. It's not pasuk. So again, let's just summarize the last point in the Gemara so we can pick up the Gemara now. The Gemara says we now have Lema Kitanoi. We found the Machlokas Tanoim, the root of which is the Machlokas Trin Chizki and Rabbi Avo. We can identify Rabbi Yossi Aglili with Rabbi Avo. Hence, I need a pasuk in the case of Chelev Nevela to be Matir Hano, because when the Torah prohibits Achila in Chelev Nevela, ipso facto that should include Hano as well. And the Torah had to go out of its way with the pasuk L'chol Yehasa. To be Matir Hanor. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need a pasuk for Isra Hanor to be Matir Hanor. There was never an Isra Hanor to begin with because he maintains Hushita Chizkiya. Gemara says, name, lo. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that lo sochlu mashma bein Isra Achil bein Isra Hanor. In other words, both Rabbi Yossi Aglili and even Rabbi Akiva accept the position of Rabbi Avo, and therefore we do need a heter hana, and I understand Rabbi Yossi Aglili very well, but so now I have to understand Rabbi Akiva. V'hacha b'hacha biflagi, Rabbi Yossi Aglili saw Rakisha Hutra Nevela, he Hutra, but Chelba v'gida lo Hutru. Again, what we're saying is that Chelev, and now he's adding Ginadosh as well, is not called Basar. If it's not called Basar, it's not called Nevela. If it's not called Nevela, then when the Torah allowed you to benefit from the Nevela, the Torah did not include the Chelev and the Gid, so I need a special pasuk to be Matir Hana in the cases of Chelba v'Gida Shal Nevela Ki Yitzukra Leheter Hana Hu Diyasa. So again, the Yisoda is from Yossi Aglili, is that Gid and Chelev, let's focus on Chelev now, is not Basar. And if it's not Basar, it's not Nevela. And if it's not Nevela, it should be also Mano. The Torah therefore had to go out of its way to be Matar Ano. For Rabbi Akiva Savar, Kisha Hutra Nevela is Chelva V'Gida Nami Hutru, which basically means Yesh B'Chelev B'No Seitam, Yesh B'Gid B'No Seitam, and therefore Chelev and Gid are called Basar. And if they're included in Basar, then I don't need a heter hana because the Torah was matir nevela b'hana legerashem b'shrecha titanena, and that halacha applies, that heter hana applies to the whole animal, the whole body of the animal, including its chelev. V'chi yitzrich kra, why do I need therefore a pasuk of lechol And again, we don't know what Rav Yossi Haglili is going to do with Tumah V'Tahara. I mean, he doesn't have the luxury of using this pasuk Yosel Chol Malach V'Tumah V'Tahara because he needs that pasuk to be Matir Hanah, because he holds that Chelev is not part of the Nevela. And if it's not part of the Nevela, it's not Basar. It's not included in the Heter Hanah of the Nevela. But he doesn't have a pasuk now for Tumah V'Tahara. That was the Machlok Shri, the Marshal, and the Marshal. So now the Gemara has a problem. What are we going to do with Gid Anosha, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili? Rabbi Yossi Haglili took Chelev and Gid Anosha out of the animal, out of the body of the animal. It's not Basar, it's a separate entity with a separate Isur. Now with regard to Chelev, we had a Havamina that the Isur of Chelev should extend to include Hanoah. The Torah went out of its way to be Matir Hanoah. But in the case of Gid Anosha, the Torah says it's also Achila. We're holding like Rav Yavo. Therefore, we should extend the Iser Achila in the case of Gid Anosha to Hanah, to include Hanah as well. And now we don't have a pasuk to be Matar Hanah by Gid Anosha. So the Gemara says, Eboy, same one answer I can give you is Enochinami Asur. That according to Rav Yossi Haglili, Gid Anosha is Asur Hanah. And if we go back to Daf Chav Beis, we have the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, back on Daf Chav Beis, was of the opinion that Gid Anosha is Asur Hanah. I'd like you to see that inside without losing the place, but if you take a look at the Chav Beis of an Aleph, and you count up from the bottom of the page, about, I would say, maybe 12 lines or so, there should be a line that starts with the word Divrei. Do you see that? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda just finished saying that Gid Anosha is Mutar Hanah. Rabbi Shimon Oser. Because Rabbi Shimon holds that Gid Anosha is a separate entity. It's not part of the Nevela itself. It's not Basar. And therefore the Torah was Matir Hanah. In the case of the Nevela, that Heter Hanah does not extend to include even Gid Anosha. Therefore, hence, Rabbi Shimon derives the conclusion that Gid Anosha is Asur Hanah. Now, if Rabbi Yossi Haglili agrees with the basic perspective of Rabbi Shimon, namely that Chelev and Gid are not considered Basar, therefore there was no Heter of Hanah in the case of Gid Anosha. The Torah was Matir Gid Anosha for the Basar of the Nevela, but that doesn't include the Gid of the Nevela. Ibois Ema Maisi Lei Bekal V'Chomer. It means the following, that Rabbi Yossi Haglili is going to derive the Heter Hanah in Gid Anosha from Chelev with a Kal V'Chomer. You remember we said at the outset that Chelev is more Chamur than all Machalos Asuras, with the possible exception of Chametz. What punishment is incurred by the eating of Chelev? Karetz. Uma Chelev Sha'anush Karetz. Mutar Manah. If the Torah says, in the case of Chelev Ye'asel Chol Malach to be Matar Hanah, even though Chelev is so stringent that it generates a chiv kares, is gid, which is relatively kal with a kuf, I mean, because eno onish kares, it's a regular classic isra achila, is lo kol shkena, which more so should be mutar manah. Now Tosus points out right away that this kalachomer is really this is a monkey wrench, because all the sugyas that we learned until now assume that according to Rabbi Avo, at least when the Torah prohibits something in achila, then it's also asur hanah. Well, we just blew it all up, you know, so to speak, because if you have this kalachomer from chelev, you know, chelev is your paradigm Iser Chamur, and yet it's Mutar Hanah. So we're always going to derive a Kal V'Chomer. Like, for example, we said that Gid Anosha, according to Rabbi Avoh, would be Asur. I'm sorry, start again. We said that Shara Niskal, according to Rabbi Avo, would be Asur Adno, because the Torah says Lo Yeochel, and that includes even Adno. Well, why not derive the opposite conclusion with this Kal V'Chomer from Chelev? Shara Niskal is not an Isur Kari, so it's an Isur Kal. If Chelev, which is an Isur Chomer, is Mutar Adno, because the Torah says Yosel Chomer Locha, how much more so in the case of Shara Niskal, that Shara Niskal, which is an Isur Kal, it doesn't generate Kareis, certainly should be Mutar Adno. What are we going to do with this Kal V'Chomer? This Kal V'Chomer torpedoes everything we've been saying until now. So if you look at the third line in Tosis here, V'yesh lomar d'hachi perusha, the top Tosis on the page, Chav Gimel Amud Beis, he says, U'mach chelev shonish karis v'yosem achila, u'mutar ma'na kemo nevela atzma, gid she'eno onish karis kol shkein she'e b'chlal hetu nevela. Says Tosis that the Kal V'Chomer here from Yossi Aglili is only from Chelev to Gid Anasha. It's not from Chelev to anything else. There's a, how should I say, a very close symmetry or a similarity between Chelev and Gid Anasha. And Gid Anasha. Why? Because we're looking at this nevela, this carcass of the animal that died without Shechita. And we're asking, does the Heter Hana of nevela apply to Chelev? So we're saying that the Chelev, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is a separate entity, and we don't know that it's Mutar Adno. Oh. But now the Torah went ahead and said, Ye'asel Chol Malacha. What was the Torah teaching me? When it says Ye'asel Chol Malacha, what's the Torah teaching me about as far as Chelev is concerned? The Torah is teaching me that it has the same status as the Vela. Do you understand? In other words, we took the Chelev out of the bag, and now we're putting it back into the bag. We took it out of the bag of Nevela because we said Chelev is a separate entity and it's not Basar. And therefore our conclusion by taking the Chelev out of the bag of Nevela is that Chelev becomes Asur Ma'anah according to Rabbi Avo. But now the Torah says Yosel Chol Malacha, and it's taking Chelev and putting it back into the bag, so to speak, put it back into the animal of Nevela. And therefore it's Mutar Ma'anah. So Gemara says, if you're willing to do that in the case of Chelev, then certainly the Torah would be willing to do that in the case of Gid Anasha. Because if Chelev is an onish kares, and yet the Torah is now saying, well, the Heter Nevela, the Heter Hanah of Nevela applies to Chelev, then how much more so should the Heter Hanah of Nevela apply to Gid Anasha? Now the Gemara asks the following question. Rabbi Shimon, the Asar, he says that Gid Anasha is Asar Ma'anah. Why? Because he holds Ein Beginim and Osei Tam. Gid Anasha is not considered Basar. It has no taste of Basar. And therefore it's not included in the Heter Hanah of the Vela. Therefore it remains Asar Ma'anah. But what about the Kal V'Chomer of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that if Chelev is Mutar Ma'anah, and even though it's an Isur Kares, how much more so Gid Anasha should be Mutar Ma'anah? And yet Rabbi Shimon maintains that Gid Anasha is Asur Ma'anah. And again, let's go over the logic of Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon maintain that Gid Anasha is Asur Ma'anah? The answer is because he holds Ein Beginim and Osei Tam. And if Ein Beginim and Osei Tam, it means that Gid Anasha doesn't have Tam of Basar. And if it doesn't have Tam of Basar, then it's not included in what? In the Heter Hanah of Basar. Therefore, hence Gid Anasha according to Rabbi Shimon is Asur Ma'anah. Thank the Gemara, why should it be Asur Ma'anah? Why not derive it from Chelev? In the Torah prohibits Chelev with the Nisar Kares, and yet it was Matir Chelev Ma'anah, Yasul Chavalacha. How much more so? Gid Anasha, which is only an Isar Lav, and there's no Kares, it should be Mutar Ma'anah. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon has a pircha on the Kal V'Chomer.
What's a pircha?
Oh, what's a pircha? A pircha means he finds a hole in the Kal V'Chomer. Meaning, on the one hand, the situation of Chelev is really chamur, right? It's also the Yisur Kares. But yet, we're going to find a certain kula that the Torah is lenient with regard to Chelev, and therefore, that explodes, that torpedoes the Kal V'Chomer. That's called a pircha. It'll become a little more clear as we go along. The Ikol Mifrach, what's the Pircha? Ma'al Chelev, Shekein Hutar Michlolo, Eitzel Chaya. Oh, I see, it's late. So let's see if we can read one more line, and that ends the whole sugya. Remember, I told you that in the pasuk it says kol chelev shar v'kesev v'yeis. What's the common denominator of shar keves v'yeis? Behema. So therefore, the Torah never prohibited chaya. I'm sorry, chelev with regard to a chaya. That was my case with tzvi. Oh, Masha'en came in the case of Shara Niskal. Sorry. In the case of Gid Anoshe, the case of Gid Anoshe is also Bein Bebehema, Bein Bechaya. So on the one hand, you're telling me that let's point to Chelev as the more Choradik case, because Chelev is also Misukares, but I'll show you that in a comparison of Chelev to Gid Anoshe, Gid Anosh is more chomer than Chelev, because Chelev the Torah was matir in the case of Chaya, and Gid Anosh is also in the case of Chaya. Is Torah of Gid Anosh shalohuta b'chloli tzol Chaya? The Torah never burst the balloon here with regard to Chaya in Gid Anosh. Gid Anosh is also bein b'meima bein b'chaya. Ve'idach. So what's Rabbi Yossi Aglil going to do with this pircha? I mean, he based this whole sheet on the Kal v'chomer. Is behema kamri to behema be a slow history? He says, let's just focus on the behema. The behema dies without shechita, and now I find chelev in the behema. Right? I'll always find chelev in the behema. That chelev the Torah says is awesome for isur kares, and in this chelev, which the Torah prohibited, namely the case of behema, there's no heter whatsoever. It's lo hutu mechlolo in the behema itself. So when I'm looking at the chelev in this behema, I have a wonderful kal v'chomer, because the chelev in this behema is much more chomer than the gid anosh in this behema. The chelev in this behema is also more lishkares. The gid anosh is only also bisolav. And if the Torah points to the chelev and says, despite that chumra, it's mutter ma'anoi yosel chom malacha, how much more so the gid anosh is mutter behano. Hence we have the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and here's where we'll stop. That's the end of the sugya, and I'll wish you all a great day.